Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined by Pete Donaldson. And I'm so excited, I've lost my words. It's another one of those episodes where I can't do the slick opening. Hey, Pete, what's going on, though?
I don't think you've ever done a slick opening, so to speak.
How
and there'll be no more said about Chris Broad's slick openings, to be quite frank. Yes, hello, this is the Abroad Japan podcast.
Oh, just as bad.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. I'm really discombobulated, baby, because I just got off a flight from New York City and I have spent all morning launching a brand new podcast and I'm just really confused about what I'm doing.
Ooh. First class, private jet, Pete Donaldson experience.
Nope.
I know, I can't remember if you mentioned it on
back
the podcast.
Of the plane.
Oh, not again. I can't
back
remember if
the
you
plane.
Mentioned it at the end of last week's podcast, but you told me, I think after the podcast stopped recording, you told me you were very angry because all your staff went business class.
Yeah.
And you,
so you treat them right,
the company,
baby.
You went economy class and because you didn't even know they were going business and you were livid.
Because my
you were so
business
angry.
Partner, Jonathan, said, Pete, just book your own flights and just clear on expenses. And I say, I will do that. And then turned out he'd managed to get a mate's discount on bloody a few business class sites, flights when he did it. And so I bloody booked stinking, I'd booked stinking bloody coach. Fuming!
Wow.
Fuming I am,
a man of your
Chris.
Stature. A man of your scope and stature in economy class. Who'd have thought it?
Oh, gutted. Absolutely gutted.
How do you feel to be back in the UK then? What's the new podcast you're launching? You haven't told me about this.
I have though, Chris. Basically, you might have seen them on Twitter. They're called the Exploding Heads, and they do a lot of like sort of satirical kind of talk radio parodies for British people, basically. Taking the piss out of the sort of people who phone in, like, TalkSport and phone in LBC and stuff like that. And they're always really angry Brexiteers who want less immigration, a smaller government, and they just seem to be really annoyed about rich black footballers buying houses for their families. And they're very, very funny. And I was like, yeah, let's do a podcast. And it's basically a parody of talk radio. And I believe in it massively. I think they're really talented lads. And yeah, it's out today. It's called Sports Horn. Sports Horn. So just if you're on Spotify or whatever, Google it, have a little listen, because it's very funny. It's like a scripted sitcom, basically. And you should listen to it too, Chris. Check it out, Chris. It's good. It's very good.
Whenever I'm back in the UK, actually, I would put on LBC. For people that don't know, it's what's it literally mean?
London's
leading
big
Britain's
conversation. Yeah. It used to be London, and then it went national, I think. Yeah.
But they bring on a host of presenters, and they battle it out with listeners of all different political spectrums, and it's just fascinating, as you say,
one particular political part of the spectrum.
True. It also depends who the talk show host is. You've got everyone from Nigel Farage to James O'Brien, and I love listening in.
I'd say everyone on the station is more Farage than anyone else, and then James O'Brien he's like a little island of common sense, in my opinion. So yeah, O'Brien actually. So Exploding Heads, when they do their parodies, they always have a character called Colin from Portsmouth, and he rings up and like expresses some stuff about the woke agenda. And the host always ends by going, "Love to the family, Colin." And James O'Brien ended one of his calls by some blithering idiot who wanted a ban on fucking crayons or something by saying, "Love to the family, love to the family," because he's a fan of Exploding Heads. So, and you should be too.
Nice one. We should do that with the Abroad Japan podcast. We should have listeners radio.
Yeah.
We've never done that before. I don't know how you do
show.
It. Do it.
We could figure it out. We'll just do like a live Twitch stream and have people phoning in or something. I don't know. There's loads of ways to do this sort of thing. And just be guaranteed that if me and Chris put our heads together, you will be getting the most botched version of that that style. But yeah, I just got back from America. Chris, I did a thing for the first time in America, and I'm very excited.
You ate a Philadelphia cheese steak thing.
I did not eat a Philadelphia cheesecake, but I drove a car. I think I probably spoke about it on the show last week. I drove a car, picked up a car from the rental facility of Newark Airport. I drove it down to Philadelphia, then drove over to Nucky Thompson's gaff, Atlantic City, which is it's very much like where I live, South End. it's pretty rough around the edges. It's like Vegas, but smaller and rough around the edges.
Good Lord. What was the experience of driving in the US like? It looks kind of scary. So I thought
it was going to be really stressful because, you know, I've never driven in a left-hand car on the right-hand side of the road. And I've never driven anything bigger than a Fiat 500. And this car, and I'd ordered the smallest car deliberately. I said, just give me the smallest car. I want it to be just like a Fiat 500. And they gave me a car. You know what Americans' idea of small car is? It's the size of a fucking bull. like a big fucking car. And I'm like, oh God, this is massive. I'm going to crash everything. But I didn't. I didn't crash. I was like about 10 minutes in and I'm like, whoa, this is really comfortable. I was really, and all of, because it's a newer car and a bigger car has more kind of odds and sods to it. So I had a rear camera. I had overtakey kind of blind spot little indicators on my wing mirrors. I had at one point, I was driving very well, I must admit, but there was one point when I was rolling, when I was trying to sort my flight out, and I started rolling towards the car in front, and the car did suddenly go, pre-collision advice or something, pre-collision alert, and it basically just alerted me to the fact that I was going to crash. So that's good. Oh my God. So I think all cars should have that, quite frankly.
You're going to start driving around the UK in your big American SUV.
Big American SUV. It was a Ford. I don't know, Ford something or other.
A Ford Massive.
But it was gigantic for me anyway. And by American standards, probably quite small and diminutive. But what a cool experience. And I only accidentally booked it for 2 weeks when I actually needed it for 3 days. So it cost me a ridiculous amount of money. But I enjoyed the experience immensely. Well done.
The experience everyone. Of driving a car that is good and not a Fiat 500.
But it just means that I'm happy to kind of like drive in Japan and stuff now. I'm more than relaxed about it.
Yeah, I'd
even
say,
if you're not.
No, I think driving Japan's like a walk in the park, to be honest. Like people here are pretty good drivers. People often say that they're not. Like Japanese drivers aren't that good. But 10 years on the road, I can tell you they are. They are like, people don't tailgate you as much here as they do in the UK. Whenever you look in your rearview mirror in the UK, there's someone with a BMW or an Audi and they want to kill you and your family and ram you off the fucking road. In Japan, tailgating happens, but it's a bit rarer. Unless you get a Chiba. Yeah. For some reason, people in Chiba, nutters. Oh, crazy drivers. Interesting. As you'll discover. But because they drive on the right side of the road here, the correct side of the road, as we do in the UK, it's really easy, you know, compared to the US.
Yeah.
I still don't think, I remember driving around France for the first time and it was just terrific and really quite scary. Maybe that's just French drivers. Got my first speeding ticket in France and I got my second speeding ticket several months after that with you. So
yeah.
There you
good
go.
Good stuff.
I hadn't got a single speeding ticket. And then in the space of 18 months, I got a speeding ticket in France, Japan, and the UK. And it was just terrible luck. Or maybe I was a bit reckless that year. Who knows? We got a story this week, from Catherine Butler from the UK. She says, "Dear Crystalline Chris and Porous Pete." Are you Porous Pete? Are you Porous?
I don't know.
After a few drinks, maybe.
Booze, yeah. Just absorbing booze constantly.
This summer, I was lucky enough to be able to get into the country as a researcher and spend six weeks in Tokyo, Hokkaido, Iwate, and Kansai, gathering material for a book on British children's books in Japan. Wow, that's pretty cool. Very specific, Catherine. Yeah. Anyway, this is a story about when I went to Hokkaido. I took the bullet train from Tokyo as far as Hakodate, then transferred to a limited express to Sapporo. This last leg looked a bit weird, even on paper, considering that Sapporo is the largest city, largest Japanese city north of Tokyo. The limited express was timetabled to take 3.5 hours to do the 160-mile trip, not much less than the Shinkansen had taken to go from Tokyo all the way to Hakodate. I boarded at 2 p.m, expecting to get to Sapporo at 5:30 p.m, where my friend Mami-san was busy checking out izakaya pubs. We travelled without incident for about an hour, at which point the train pulled into a very small town called Yakumo. The train sat there for 40 minutes, then an hour. Recorded announcements in Japanese, English and Chinese apologised occasionally for the delay. By the time we'd been in Yakumo for 2 long hours, the recorded announcements had been abandoned. The man sitting next to me was a railway otaku who explained that they were worried about the next station being overwhelmed by rain and were checking the tracks. I was quite surprised that the home of the Sapporo Snow Festival could be so quite easily derailed by a bit of rain that it wouldn't have looked out of place on a Sunday in Manchester. The fourth hour came and went, then the fifth. I told Mami-san to go to the izakaya without me. By the time the track had been declared sound, they decided to get a rail replacement bus. Finally, around 10 p.m, we were shown onto a bus, arriving just shy of 2 a.m. in the morning. Good God. A row of Sapporo station staff bowed in deep apology as we passed, but no one offered any actual help. Luckily, my hotel was in walking distance, so I'd have been in real trouble. All the best, guys. Catherine Butler from the UK, 59 years old. I mean, that route, I did this route actually with Connor a year ago when we went to Sapporo, because I don't like flying. Even though it's like a 1 hour flight from Tokyo to Sapporo, or it's like a bullet train ride to Hakodate and then the local train. Yeah. But the thing is, the bullet train plus local train equals like 6 or 7 hours. And I was like, let's just do the bullet train, Connor. And it turned into this really long, epic journey that Connor really loathed. And I enjoyed it. I just put the headphones on, listened to David Bowie. It was a great old time. But in hindsight, it would have been a lot easier just to fly. And then I did fly. So I decided after that route, after taking so long, I flew to Sapporo when we filmed the Journey Across Japan winter special with Joey and Natsuki in January, 2 months after that. Yeah. And as we took off from Sendai, the pilot said, "Oh, there's so much snow, our plane might not be able to land, and we might have to turn and come all the way back."
Oh,
and that was when I massively regretted getting on the plane and wished that we just got on the train again. Fortunately, we were right there. There was a nasty blizzard, and the flight was very, very bumpy, but it was worth it. Honestly, I'd fly, and so should you next time, Catherine. But I'm glad you got out of Yakumo after 6 or 7 long hours. I don't even know where Yakumo is. I'm going to look it up, because I probably cycled through it. Probably cycled through it 2 weeks ago. Anyway, over to you, Pete. What's the story of the week? Well, I look up where Yakumo is.
Oh, Chris, have you ever... have you ever moved dried peas using a straw in 30 seconds? Have you ever spun a fidget spinner on your nose? Have you ever dunked a biscuit, like, but took ages doing it? Have you ever flipped a load of coasters and caught those coasters with a chopstick? Well, Mr. Cherry Yoshitake, otherwise known simply as Mr. Cherry, is a Japanese comedian who holds 26 Guinness World Records as of September. All of them are pretty insane, and he's gone like pole dancing on Tokyo rooftops. He's cosplayed as the Beijing Olympics mascot. What I like about this is he's kind of like, he's a guy who owns so many Guinness World Records. My favourite one is very much crushing nuts with his bum. He's crushed the most amount of nuts with his bum in 30 seconds. 78 nuts crushed on a TV show in Milan, Italy, in February of this year. Mr. Cherry Yoshitake, he does not take his time when it comes to sitting on a load of nuts. Basically, the idea of like a kind of variety comedian in Japan is so kind of out there and so kind of like busy and just constantly thinking of new things to do. I just think that sort of comedy is so inspirational. It's like, it's a little Timmy Mallet-esque, I think it's fair to say, but without the world records. Do you remember Timmy Mallet, Chris?
No, I do not. It was before my time.
Really? Wacky hijinks of Timmy Mallet?
It can't have been quite as wacky as Cherry Yoshitake. I've never heard of this guy until you brought this up today. Why has he got all these records then? Is he just like he's a Japanese TV personality who wants to...
He wants to break as many records as possible. Yeah, he just wants to sort of do it. And so he's just kind of constantly dressing in a rather... He's dressed in like a kind of like full-on bespoke wrestling singlet that he's got. And he's just constantly just sitting on nuts. He'll basically just do anything. Like, it's just... And you'd think, like, how would you crush a nut with your bum, like a walnut thing? Basically, it's not how you think. He lays them out on the floor, and then he sort of does he sort of crunches them with the side of his hips rather than his bum, because your bum would be too soft. There's too much purchase there. So, he's just basically... I don't think he's really crushing him with his bum. I think he's crushing him with his hip, which is a different record. And I think the Guinness World Record people should be a bit more thoughtful. Have a think about it.
I mean, can you imagine working for Guinness World Records and you've got people doing like incredible feats and like real, like the biggest skydive, the greatest amount of beer that's been consumed, and then you get Cherry Yoshitake with his nut breaking technique?
That'll
be a slow day at the Guinness Book of Records, wouldn't it? Is that actually even in the book? Do you reckon they could even fit that in the book? Are they like, oh, we'll just leave that on the website, Cherry?
We can't fit
that one in the book.
Well, yeah, that's not really. I think that sort of story would make it into the book. It's like I do think that there's something about the Guinness World Records that makes you think that they're kind of going for that kind of influencer kind of. I'm sure Mr. Beast is in it a few times as well. I think they might be going for like the popularity to keep themselves relevant a little bit. People like Mr. Yoshitake, Mr. Cherry, he's crushing nuts with his bum.
It's the sort of thing, sort of awful crap I'll have to do in 5 years when Abroad in Japan is on its last legs. I'll have to like do some ridiculous challenges just to get any attention, right?
Are you doing a boxing match?
I mean,
bring it on,
that's
brother.
Cool. That's good. Cool.
I'm going to get punched in the face.
That's going to be fun, that is. I don't even know if it's been formally announced yet. It's really annoying. I don't know if I could even talk about this boxing match. That I'm going to be in a boxing match, isn't it?
You talked about it last week. I was surprised about
it's a secret.
Don't tell anyone. Forget what you just said.
Well, I mean, I haven't really given much away, have I? It's a secret that doesn't really need to be much of a secret anymore. But yeah, I'm doing a boxing match and I need to train hard for that. I just did a race that I'll talk about in the next podcast that I just survived. I did Japan's hardest race and I survived it. But I'll get into that in the next episode because I'm still recovering from that. It was harder than what anything Cherry Yoshitake's done with his nuts. Or what were the other bloody records he's done apart from cracking various flora and fauna?
Put my phone down now, haven't I? Put my phone down now. There's just on the website where I steal all of these stories.
It's just a slow news week in Japan.
It's a bit of a slow news week. Yeah, it is. It is. It is. I mean, to be fair, we've had a summer of pretty big fucking news, to be honest. One of their presidents has been fucking killed, prime ministers. Yeah, it's just loads of different stuff, to be honest. Loads of different stuff. He's a variety record breaker. Most dried peas moved using a straw in 30 seconds. But that's the sort of thing, like I think he's just picking awards and picking skills that very few people have actually gone for.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair to say. It'd be, it's low-hanging fruit at this point. It's weird to think that you can look at pretty much everyday object in your house and turn it into a Guinness World Record. If you're desperate enough and if you have enough free time at your disposal, I'll have to bear that in mind when I when things go downwards for Braun Japan. We'll be back in just a moment, guys, with your stories, comments and questions in the fax machine.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot maybe your new best friend, but what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare tri-term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare tri-term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Anna Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania. Too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What do we got this week, Mr. Dawson, from our listeners around the world?
Around the world, Mr. Worldwide. We've got a message from Alberto. Much love from Italy, says Alberto. Hi, fast Chris and powerful Pete, road biking nerd from Italy here. Oh, they've got some roads in Italy, haven't they? They got some bloody roads. The old bloody, I can't remember what's the Italian version, the Tour de France. I can't remember. Can you please do a rundown of the bike and bike equipment? Can you do it to Italy? Thank you. Can you please do a rundown of the bike and biking equipment used on the ride with Connor, especially because from what I've seen on Twitter, it looks like you got it right this time. The mountain bike nonsense on the first attempt was hilarious. Sorry. Much love from Italy, Alberto. So yeah, we want to know about your bike, little curly. Well, did I have Shimano gears? That was the last time I was interested in bikes, when I was 12. Shimano gears are very important in my life.
It did have Shimano gears, I think. Yeah. I think it did anyway. Yeah, it did.
Got to be Japanese, honestly, Shimano as well, isn't it?
Yeah, if you're going to do like any long cycling, get a good bike. Spend proper money. Yeah. On the first journey across Japan, I think it was a few hundred dollars I spent on the bike.
Right.
And I paid the price for it because it was extremely heavy. Just lifting it up was like hard. This one I spent like in the thousands. I kind of saw it as a long-term investment. And it was like a light as a feather. You can honestly pick this bike up. It's made of carbon fiber. You can pick it up with like one finger, no problem.
Yeah.
It's frighteningly light. It's like witchcraft, right? It's a fucking Cherry Yoshitake challenge waiting to happen. Amount of times he's lifted up a carbon fiber bike in 1 hour. But it's a really good bike, and I would recommend that being the first thing you invest in when it comes to cycling. A good bike. Get a decent helmet as well. I got a really nice helmet. That it's really lightweight, lots of holes in it, very porous, like Pete, and it's just nice. It had a really nice airflow to it. Got some gloves and some bike pants, and that was pretty much it, really.
Bike pants! Chris's bike pants, he's selling them on OnlyFans. He's going to sell his old bike pants.
Like used bath water. Yeah, honestly, the bike pants are everything. I can't remember if you wore bike pants when you cycled, Pete. Did you do it?
No, I know you only did it one day. A very short period of time, and the mountain bike was plenty soft.
Yeah, I mean, without bike pants, this cycle would not have been possible. We just did, you know. It's more important than having a good bike seat. Just have good bike pants, lots of padding. I did actually replace the seat on the bike as well, though, to make it more comfortable. Connor did not, and he was in a lot more pain than I was. So bear that in mind. Get a good bike, good seat, nice helmet, good bike pants, gloves, sunglasses, and a bottle of water. Job done. Easy. We've got one here from Ross, who says, "Dear Kissy Chrissy and Perky Pete, I am a massive Blade Runner nutter, and I recently..." That's what he's written. "I'm a Blade nutter, and I recently purchased the movie accurate coat worn by Ryan Gosling in Blade Runner 2049. Ooh. It cost a rather large sum. During your time in Japan, have either of you made exorbitant purchases that other people thought were daft? If not, what would you buy if you could? Dreaming of electric sheep, Ross. And Astrid."
That's a nice bike. I'm looking. So it's basically a fur lapel leather trench coat.
It's quite a nice coat.
It's not bad. Yeah, it's quite a nice coat. I think I'd wear that.
I mean, I don't think I have actually put... I'm quite a frugal person. The only thing I do spend a lot of money on is camera lenses. I look at a video someone's made, and I go, "Oh, I want that lens," and I buy it, and I shoot like one shot on it, and it goes on my shelf, and I buy another one. And that's the only thing that I keep the only exorbitant stupid purchase I make. And maybe the bike. The bike was a bit too much.
Maybe the bike, yeah.
I mean, Pete Donaldson's your man, though. He's your man when it comes to exorbitant purchases. His house is just one big, like, it's, you know that place in Indiana Jones at the end where the Ark of the Covenant goes in the shed, in the big warehouse in Area 51? That's Pete Donaldson's house. It is like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the I mean, I always come on with like automatons. That's my little sort of collectible purchase. But they're only like 60 quid, 40 quid each. But yeah, I've come on with old tellies. You can sort of see up there, Chris.
Did you get anything in the US?
I come home with a tiny mobile phone, Android mobile phone. Oh yes, I came home with a it wouldn't have been a wolf. A coyote's penis bone. There was a shop that was selling coyote penis bones, and I was like, I've got to have myself a. If you have the opportunity to buy a coyote penis bone, you just have to go with it, unfortunately. So, yeah, came on with that. Oh, I got the yawn on. Apologies. Thinking about the coyote penis bone, my mouth just opens wide whenever I think about a coyote's penis.
How much was this trinket?
It was about 20 quid, I think. It was about 20 quid, yeah. So,
and where is it now? Where's it gone?
I pressed it into my partner's hand and said, there you go. Happy birthday. Have a bit of that.
People criticised me years ago for giving my then girlfriend's post-it notes. You've taken it to a whole new level. At least post-it notes are practical. The coyotes. Undergarments.
You heard it here first. Post-it notes are practical.
That's absolutely disgraceful.
That's absolutely disgraceful. I know.
Although that being said, it was rather well priced. I wouldn't class that as exorbitant purchase. So well done, Pete.
But I mean, but you do sort of go just find the body of a goddamn coyote and just, you know, get involved. So, I mean, I don't think you necessarily need to find a. It was basically this kind of swanky. Kind of chintzy, sort of midtown, just near the Flatiron Building, kind of collection of really expensive animal bones, effectively. So you had like proper monk, like, you know, stuffed monkeys and stuff like that, which I would have fucking loved. But you can't encourage that sort of thing, though, can you?
No, you can't. This is
if they're from a zoo. I mean, it's from a zoo. I mean, like, when I used to work in the zoo, I've told that story before. I found like a big cupboard full of animal fetuses. So I had a chimpanzee fetus that I wanted to take home.
I mean, of all the things you could have brought back from the US, that's like the top 10 list of not what to bring back. But there you go. It's Pete Donaldson for it. Some people bring back food and snacks and sweets. Others bring back
the penis
of the coyote. Fantastic. You want to hear from Olivia from Malmo, Sweden. Hello, Chris and Pete. When I was in Hakodate, I was offered free food, which turned out to be whale meat. I ate out of politeness, but secretly disgusted by it. What has been your worst free food experience in Japan? Ooh. Olivier. I think probably shark fin, which I find atrocious and appalling. I went to a really nice restaurant once, and they brought a soup, and I couldn't read the kanji. I didn't know what they were saying. This was years ago, and it looked a bit like mushrooms. So it had like the texture of a gigantic sort of mushroom in some soup, and it tasted all right, if not flavourless and a bit rubbish. But and then I discovered it was like a shark fin, and I was really not happy about that because I think it's an abhorrent sort of cuisine, and I've not had it since, thank God. But like that was really not. But they sell it at high-end restaurants throughout Japan and throughout Asia. It's a very sort of popular dish. It's sort of Michelin star restaurants and high-end places that they try and stick in there. I think I've had whale once and it wasn't good. And I don't know why they eat that anymore. That's something that should have stayed in the post-war era. And I think that was back when there was not much food going around after the war. And fishermen were like, let's just get some whales in. And that kind of took off from there. But
I think I had the naughty platter in Iceland once. Fetid shark, whale meat, and old penguin. Not penguin. Would it be a penguin? Maybe a
penguin?
I think it
Pengu?
Might be. Would it have been penguin? I don't know. Look, come on, come all. If you're going to eat a cow, eat a fucking
fucking penguin. I don't know. Oh, God. It wasn't very, again, not very nice, though. None of it's very it's nice.
It's a sad end to Pingu, isn't it? Burp, 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 burp. Pete Donaldson biting off Pingu's head. I also had a crocodile tongue once. I was in a bar with Joey in Sendai.
When do they ever have crocodile tongue? When does a crocodile stick his tongue out?
This place did it. It was a really like dodgy bar. They had like it was drinks, food, and BB guns, like airsoft guns.
Oh, they love a BB airsoft gun. They love those fucking guns, don't they? Mad, isn't it?
You could shoot down the target range, and while you were shooting, they'd come out with your drinks and some crocodile tongue, and didn't really want it. It wasn't good. Don't eat that. I don't know why they served it. Maybe because Sendai is famous for cow tongue, and so they thought, let's go one step further and present crocodile tongue. It wasn't good, and I, again, regret eating that. You had horse. What do you think of horse?
Your favourite? Yeah, nice. Sakura... Niku, is it?
Sakura Niku.
Sakura Niku.
Cherry blossom. Ah! Blossom meat, because it looks like cherry blossom. It's the colour of cherry blossom, isn't it? Isn't that nice? I mean,
eating meat in general is fucking rank, isn't it? I remember I was watching that Vice documentary, probably mentioned it before, about a man who only eats macaroni cheese. And it's basically a 20-minute about this man who is all he will eat. And I don't know what happened in his past, but he's very he just loves macaroni and yeah, so he's in a situation where he will only eat that, and he looks at the meat counter and he goes, meat is disgusting, absolutely gross. What sort of person eats meat? And I'm kind of inclined to agree with him when it comes to, like, when the opposition is just having a lovely bowl of macaroni cheese. So look, eating meat is gross.
I mean,
but I still do it.
I do like macaroni cheese quite a lot. Con had a house party once, and I think his producer Maylene from Trash Taste turned up with some, and I devoured it. I think I took the whole thing, and nobody else got any, and it was a worrying addiction. So I can relate to the person and their addiction to macaroni cheese. I can relate to it. I do have some days. I know what you mean with meat. You know, I eat a fair bit of meat. I've tried to cut it down over the years. But certain times, certain meats, you do look down and go, oh, that's not good. But then most of the time I don't. And that is why I'm well known for eating all the Wagyu. But yeah, I've generally cut down my meat consumption. I've cut down red meat anyway, at least, which I don't think is very good for you. But that's a debate for another day. People are going to kill me now. Chris, it's full of iron, they'll say. Chris, eat the meat. Chris, eat more Wagyu. I think I've eaten enough. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back later in the week, guys. Do all over again. But for now, no matter where you are, out in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. Don't get things about coyote. Oh, God, I'm going to have that stuck in my head. Pete's dodgy souvenirs. Don't do that. But we'll see you later in the week. Still over again, right back here on the Abroad Japan podcast. Bye for now.
Bye for now.
Lord.
It's Kim and Ito, baby!
Abroad in Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, mate.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.